What happens when the person entrusted with shaping young minds becomes their greatest threat? In the halls of Kasem High School, appearances are dangerously deceiving. Eve and Nate Bennett seem like the perfect teaching couple. She teaches math, he teaches English, they share a beautiful home and 8 years of marriage. But beneath this polished facade lies a crumbling relationship marked by Eve's growing resentment of Nate's predictable routines. The way he hums all shook up while brushing his teeth, their perfunctory three daily kisses, their scheduled monthly intimacy. Sometimes, Eve admits to herself, she wishes a truck would blow through a stop sign and kill us both instantly. This emotional void has led Eve to seek validation elsewhere, in weekly rendezvous with Jay, a shoe salesman who makes her feel desired again. Little does she know that her husband harbors far darker secrets that will soon entangle them all in a deadly web of manipulation, betrayal, and murder. What begins as a story of marital discontent quickly spirals into something far more sinister, a tale where predatory behavior masquerades as mentorship, and where the lines between victim and avenger blur beyond recognition. 16-year-old Adeline Severson begins the school year isolated. Formerly friends with Hudson Jankowski, she now eats alone and faces bullying from popular Kenzie Montgomery. Their friendship collapsed after Hudson witnessed Addie push her alcoholic father down the stairs during an altercation, an incident ruled accidental. Addie's reputation further deteriorated from rumors about an inappropriate relationship with her math teacher, Art Tuttle. Though she never formally accused him, the speculation forced his resignation. Struggling academically and emotionally, Addie becomes vulnerable when English teacher Nate Bennett offers special attention and praises her poetry. "You have a gift," he tells her, providing validation she desperately craves after months of rejection. His recognition feels like a genuine connection amid her isolation. What she fails to see is that she's being methodically groomed by a predator who has used this exact approach before. Haven't we all craved validation so deeply that we became vulnerable to those who seemed to truly see us? Addie's situation shows how emotional vulnerability can blind us to manipulation from authority figures. Nate targets academically gifted but emotionally vulnerable students, using poetry analysis as his gateway to inappropriate relationships through the school's literary magazine. His approach follows clear stages: establishing academic rapport through literary appreciation, validating creative work, creating isolated interactions, and gradually shifting from professional to inappropriate through boundary violations. Most disturbing is how he convinces each student their connection is uniquely special. "This poem speaks directly to your soul," he tells Addie about a verse he selected for her, the same verse he shared with Kenzie 2 years earlier when she was a freshman. His dual persona is his most effective weapon. To colleagues, he's the exemplary educator passionate about literature. To his targets, he's the one adult who truly understands their depth. To his wife, he's increasingly distant, dismissing her concerns with gaslighting that makes her question her own perceptions. Everything unravels when Eve discovers Nate kissing Addie in his classroom. The confrontation exposes their broken marriage. Eve demands a divorce and threatens to expose him, using a photo of the kiss to force his resignation. Nate agrees with surprising ease, revealing how meaningless their marriage is to him. But he plants a dangerous thought in Addie's mind. They could be together if Eve were gone. Desperate, Addie breaks into the Bennett's home to reason with Eve. When threatened with exposure, she panics and strikes Eve with a frying pan. Believing she's killed her, Addie calls Nate for help. Finding Eve unconscious but alive, Nate seizes the opportunity and strangles his wife while Addie is upstairs. He then manipulates the teenager into helping dispose of the body, convincing her she's responsible for Eve's death and that he's protecting her from prison. "I'll take care of everything," he promises, while planning to sacrifice Addie to save himself, transforming a victim into an accomplice through shared guilt. After burying Eve's body in an abandoned pumpkin patch, Nate frames Addie by reporting his wife missing and citing Addie's grudge against Eve for exposing her cheating. He submits Addie's threatening English assignment as evidence. While Detective Sprague investigates and Addie struggles with guilt and her mother's suspicions, the truth emerges when Kenzie Montgomery reveals that Nate had seduced her 2 years earlier using identical tactics, including the same original poem he claimed to have written for Addie. This revelation forces Addie to confront his manipulation. Meanwhile, Nate experiences disturbing phenomena. Eve's shoes appearing mysteriously, and a rotting jack-o'-lantern with a raven inside materializing in his kitchen. These Edgar Allan Poe-inspired torments drive him back to the pumpkin patch, where he discovers an empty grave. Like Poe's telltale heart, buried secrets have a way of pounding their way back to the surface. In the novel's most startling twist, Eve survived both attacks. After regaining consciousness in her shallow grave, she clawed out and reached Jay's cabin, where they plotted revenge during her recovery. The Poe references were calculated breadcrumbs exploiting Nate's literary background. As his former student, Eve selected passages from The Telltale Heart and The Premature Burial to intensify his guilt. When Nate returns to the empty grave, Eve and Jay ambush him. They watch him unravel before striking him with the same shovel he used on Eve. In the final confrontation, they bury him alive in Eve's intended grave. As dirt fills his mouth, Eve recites the poem he wrote when she was 16, revealing she wasn't just his wife, but his first victim, the template for all who followed. "You said I was different," she tells him. "You said the same thing to all of us." The novel's most disturbing insight is how institutional failures enable predators like Nate to operate with impunity. Despite numerous warning signs, including rumors about inappropriate relationships and visible student distress, the school administration repeatedly fails to protect students. This institutional paralysis, driven by denial, fear of scandal, and administrative inertia, creates an environment where predators can target multiple victims while maintaining authority. Eve takes justice into her own hands only after watching victims seek help through official channels only to be dismissed. The story raises difficult questions about alternatives when systems fail and the line between justice and revenge. Eve's vigilante approach emerges from systemic failures, yet becoming judge and executioner represents its own moral transgression. 6 months after Nate's disappearance, survivors begin healing. Eve relocates, while Addie and Kenzie form a friendship, discovering Nate affected at least three other students over a decade. Most hopeful is Addie and Hudson's rekindled romance, suggesting authentic relationships can flourish even after profound betrayal. Breaking the cycle requires both individual courage and institutional accountability.